Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Teen Health Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Jacqueline DeJay, and we have a very special guest today, Kimberly Gillette, who's a licensed clinical social worker at the University at Maryland and also works within the Howard County School System's mental health program. We're going to talk with her today about, I think, a very important topic, coping with back-to-school stress. So welcome, Kim.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today, Kim. So let's delve into the topic. So I was looking at a kids' health poll, so kidshealth.org, and they did a survey of teens about what worried them most about going back to school. And some of the top worries were schoolwork, managing social pressures and problems, finding balance with like school, friends and family, and support and appearance. So I was just wondering, in your experience, does this seem to fit with what some of the most common reasons for teens maybe to be stressed when they go back to school?
Yes, it does. And I would also add, in particular for incoming ninth graders, making the adjustment from middle school to high school is particularly stressful. And then it seems to balance out sophomore year, and then juniors have a whole other set of stressors. So I see a lot of intense pressure with my juniors that I see regarding taking SATs, AP exams, and applying to college. And this pressure is coming from internally, but also, you know, teachers, well-meaning staff, and parents who come with their own, you know, pressures and desires for their children to go to college. And it's particularly stressful in families where the students are the first generation to go to college because there's no roadmap, so to speak, laid out for them.
So your role, you're a mental health provider, but within a school setting. Can you tell us a little bit about that important role that you play and how you actually help youth sort of deal with the back-to-school stress?
Sure. I view my role in the school setting similar to that of an outpatient provider, but I have the added benefit of a team to collaborate with, so that includes teachers, counselors, administrators, and the school wellness center. And in a traditional outpatient setting, a counselor would focus maybe more on the whole student, but not have the insight that I bring, having access to the team and to student records, including absences. So I'm able to get a sense of how a student's mental health impacts his or her performance in school and observe their grades or attendance and then bring it all together. I'm also able to diagnose and do assessments and write up treatment plans, and I consult with the University of Maryland psychiatrist, Dr. Cotton, for complex questions or cases. And I typically see students weekly for 45 to 50 minute sessions, but I remind them that they can always check in with me during a crisis in between sessions if they need to.
If there are teens that are having some concerns about, you know, dealing with some of the pressures from back to school, with you being a in-school mental health provider, how are they able to access your services?
So the first step would be going to their guidance counselor. And then the guidance counselor, along with the rest of the student support service team, and myself included, would determine whether they meet the criteria for in-school services. If they don't, I'm always happy to provide parents and students with a list of local providers, and I generally make sure that they are providers which take the student and family's insurance, as well as have openings and work with adolescents. And then for the ones that do qualify for services, then I would do an intake with the parents prior to meeting with the student, and then go ahead and proceed working with the student individually, but I would also collaborate with the parents as needed.
Now, you mentioned that there tends to be somewhat different concerns for every grade. I mean, it seems like there's some universal stressors, but some particular for different grade levels. And I was wondering if you could talk about your approach to students in those different grade levels based on some of their specific needs based on the grade level?
So there's a certain amount of stress that's normal for all adolescents, but as I mentioned, different grade levels are facing different pressures. So sometimes it's as simple as figuring out they're having a hard time getting up in the morning. So it's helping them develop a good sleep hygiene and limiting their naps after school so that their sleep patterns aren't torpedoed, or even getting them an alarm clock so that they can get used to getting themselves up, particularly if their parents leave for work early, and then following up with encouraging emails when their attendance improves. For juniors, it's helping them formulate a plan to get themselves prepared for college applications or to enter the working world. And so it can be as simple as just encouraging words and, you know, emails and pumping them up to let them know that they have these options, especially if their parents haven't been able to access higher education. And then sometimes it's helping bounce their college admissions essays off of me and helping them narrow down their college choices if their parents aren't able to. And then, you know, just reminding them that they can do this, that they're able to access this, even if it hasn't been a pattern within their family, and to really help them stay grounded through the process and not get lost in all of the various steps that juniors and seniors face.
Everyone experiences stress, right? But I was just wondering, how can youth differentiate what's normal or too much stress?
Okay. So I would say that one way that parents, teachers, teenagers themselves, and I can tell that stress is at an unhealthy level would be a sudden decline in grades, isolating in their rooms at home, or suddenly quitting a sport or activity they love. If they start sleeping excessively or aren't sleeping enough, if they find that they're not able to concentrate or focus in class or on homework, those can be signs of anxiety or depression. They're often attributed to attention deficit disorder, but typically it can also be a sign of anxiety or depression as well. Other signs would be racing thoughts or panic attacks, apathy or indifference, irritability, mood swings, or anger outbursts. And then I would also add that sometimes stress manifests itself with physical symptoms, so that might be chronic headaches or stomach aches, or fatigue or muscle tension, particularly when medical causes have been ruled out.
Okay, that's great information. So we're just going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back to talk with Kim to get some more great advice.
Opioids are highly addictive drugs, even when prescribed. If misused, they can lead to overdose and even death. One opioid overdose is too many. You have the power to save a life. If you or someone you know are misusing prescription opioids such as oxycodone or other forms of opioids like heroin or fentanyl, please call the Howard County Health Department for treatment options and opioid overdose response training at 410-313-6202. Or visit the website at howardcountymd.gov/get help.
I just wanted to just remind you all that this is the flu season and the importance of getting your flu vaccine, and that the Howard County Health Department will be offering flu vaccines this fall. So check out our website at hchealth.org for the schedule, and also we'll be partnering with the school system to provide free flu vaccines to students and from elementary, middle school, and high schools. So watch out for that information and remember to get your flu vaccine.
Safety and trust is something everyone wants out of a relationship. Ensuring you and your partner have been tested for sexually transmitted diseases can help with that. Unfortunately, young adults ages 15 to 24 account for more than half of the new cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV in Howard County. Prevention is so much better than infection. Get tested. For more information, visit teenhealthmatters.org or call 410-313-7500 to schedule a free and confidential appointment at the Howard County Health Department.
Let's take it slow.
All right, so we're back. We're here talking about coping with back-to-school stress with our special guest, Kimberly Gillette, who is a licensed clinical social worker with the University of Maryland at Baltimore and also works with the Howard County School Mental Health Program. So, Kim, just giving us some information about, you know, what are the common symptoms of stress. So I wanted to sort of segue into... She mentioned a little bit about how to cope with stress, but I just wanted to know, if you, Kim, if you had any other general suggestions for helping teens cope with stress, or even some advice for how parents or even educators can help help teens cope with stress.
So one of the ways I recommend teens manage stress is by developing healthy care, self-care practices, such as good sleep hygiene. And by that, I mean not coming home from school and taking a three-hour nap. I also encourage teens to join a sports team, or if they prefer to work out individually, to try and incorporate at least 30 minutes of movement or exercise 2 to 3 days a week. Getting one's endorphins going is definitely the best natural antidepressant besides good sleep. And I would say that we put so much pressure on our teens, schools, teachers, parents, that it's also important for them to remember just to have fun. So whenever I meet with students, I ask about their weekend plans, and then after the weekend, I ask what they did, and I encourage them to make sure that they don't forget to do fun things, because you only get one adolescence. And then I also encourage them to use mindfulness apps or meditation apps. One I really like is through the UCLA health program, and it's free. It's a series of guided meditations. There's about 10 options, and there's one that's a body scan for sleep, and that is 3 minutes, and then some on loving kindness, which can be longer. Then I also recommend sometimes websites like calm.com or Headspace or Insight Timer. Just having a white noise machine or listening to music can be really helpful, particularly for students with anxiety that have racing thoughts that impact their ability to sleep.
Now, you mentioned sleep as an important way to sort of deal with stress. And I think sometimes we forget about that, the fact that, you know, if we stay up late, even adults, or if we stay up too late. So I was just wondering, how, if you've noticed that more teens are complaining about sleep associated, well, I think it's in the literature, right? Our phones and I was just wondering what your thoughts are about talking to youth about the use of their electronics and phones to try to help them go to sleep, or how that may impede their sleep.
So the thing I recommend to parents is, if they have any questions about whether their child's overusing social media or their phones, or whether it's impacting their ability to sleep or their safety, I always recommend turning their phones in at night. I know it's not a popular suggestion, but that's when sexting happens and, you know, a lot of suicide attempts happen and anxiety, and there's no parents awake to provide supervision. So even if you trust your child, it doesn't mean that somebody else's child is not awake, you know, sending multiple notifications. So I always recommend setting a cutoff that at a certain point you turn Wi-Fi off, or you have your child give you their phone, just to make sure that they're getting the sleep that they need to be able to stay awake and alert in class.
So, you know, I think you have a pretty important role, the fact that you're sort of integrated into the school system. And I was just wondering, you know, I think this Howard County Public Schools this year is looking to expand their school-based mental health program. But I was just wondering, for kids who may not have access to that right now, how they can access help if they don't have a mental health provider that's in the school. I mean, there's guidance counselors. I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts for guidance for students to access services that may not be in the school that you're in?
So I would encourage teens to ask their parents to look into finding a counselor for them. And sometimes parents get caught up in their day-to-day lives and obligations and may overlook that. So I tell teens to keep asking until they're heard, until their parent does schedule an appointment for them. And if there is, you know, a safety concern, definitely call Crisis Line or Grassroots. Or if they're not able to access their parents, I refer teens to use the TrevorProject.org, and they have a hotline, which I've known to be helpful by the teenagers who have used it. And I would say that, you know, I'm always happy to give out referrals as well to local providers, since I have access to a wider database than most parents do. And just to keep speaking up until they're heard and until their needs are met.
So I just want to, I guess, go back to your role within the school system. How does your role differ from the guidance counselor or the school psychologist?
So most guidance counselors don't have the technical training or background to be able to diagnose specific mental health conditions and create treatment plans, or have access to telepsychiatry to be able to ask questions about medication management or to make referrals for outside medication management. So that's one thing that I bring to the table that a traditional guidance counselor might not be able to. And traditionally, guidance counselors have so many other responsibilities with scheduling courses and parent-teacher conferences and other trainings and meetings they have to attend. And so I'm able really to just focus on the mental health aspect. And I do get into how it impacts school performance, but I'm able to see the bigger picture, whereas guidance counselors typically have to focus it just on school-based services and academic performance.
Because I think that's an important things to know for youth, and I agree with you. The fact that you're able to diagnose provides an important opportunity for youth, especially for those who may not have familiarity with mental health system. I think you're like the first time they can get introduced to it in an environment that students are accustomed to. Now, would you have any advice for teens on how to even again, if there's no mental health provider in their school, you know, an outside mental health provider, but the guidance counselor, some tips for how students can approach if they have questions, like either teachers or guidance counselors, if they need help or maybe having difficulty maybe talking to their family about mental health issues?
Yes, I encourage students to use my services, you know, if they are clients of mine or students that I see, to use me as an intermediary to have these difficult conversations with parents, whether it's wanting to get on birth control but not being sure how their parents will react, or wanting to explore their gender identity or sexuality but being afraid to come out. They can also use their guidance counselors in that way, in terms of having their guidance counselor help them find access to services on the outside if it's a higher level of support they need than the occasional check-in with a guidance counselor.
I guess another thing that, you know, that I've often wondered about is, let's say a friend is concerned about, you know, another classmate or another friend. What is some advice for a friend who may be thinking that there's a, you know, that they're that their friends aren't maybe dealing with stress, or there may be some concerns or issues?
I would encourage them to go to an administrator or to the guidance counselor or to myself, because often the stresses that a teen is dealing with can sometimes be too overwhelming for another teen who doesn't have the skills or abilities to help their friend manage a higher level of stress than the usual, you know, bad test score or problems at home, and that they shouldn't feel burdened to hold on to that themselves, and that they should come to an adult that they trust so that we can look into it and offer support or services to the student in need.
I think that's very, very important advice. But I guess I just want to, you know, I think we talked about maybe some of the more serious side of stress that youth might experience, but even the day-to-day pressures of trying to balance school, friends, family. I'm just wondering, what are some thoughts in terms of ideas for teens to manage maybe those day-to-day stressors?
So typically I find that teenagers aren't so much trying to balance their time with family as the parents are trying to connect with their teenagers, because this is the developmental stage where they're trying to separate and individuate, particularly the older teenagers as they get ready to launch into college or a life, you know, separate from their family. So in that case, I encourage parents to try and set a date night with their child, maybe once a month, where 1 month they get to pick the activity and the next month the student gets to pick their activity, but just where they don't have to talk about serious things like college or grades or, you know, anything stressful, but just focus on connecting with each other and trying to get tabs on where their kid is with, you know, friendships and where they are socially and emotionally, and just to spend that time talking and getting to know what's going on in their teens' lives.
So I also wear the hat of being a mom of teenagers. All this information is sinking in as well. So I think this is very important as well, because I know a lot of parents listen to the podcast. So I'm just taking mental notes, because I know, unfortunately, you know, I'm a physician. So I think I sometimes like been guilty of putting a little bit of pressure on my kids about like, oh, so did what's for homework tonight? You know, did you get all your homework done? So I think that's a great reminder to kind of like, well, you know, just kind of as parents, sometimes we got to just sit back a little bit and just engage with just, you know, outside of asking about the academic stuff and just getting in touch with like how school, how friends are going. And I love the date night suggestion, but I just want to warn parents. I've done that date night and I've gone and eaten pizza and I gained a lot of weight as a parent. So it's like, so I would also recommend some date nights, maybe where there's some physical activity, or maybe you can go walking. I don't know if teens want to go walking with their parents after eating pizza, but just a suggestion.
That's a good one.
In terms of schoolwork, are there any suggestions for maybe how teens can manage schoolwork? I don't know if they're like organizational techniques or things that might be beneficial.
I would say definitely, it may not be popular, but use your agenda book, because there are so many important deadlines and dates and activities that teens have to remember, that if they can just take that one thing off of their plate by writing things down, that goes a long way. And then I would say setting a certain time frame where they can work, and if they have difficulty concentrating, then to schedule in a break where if they can accomplish 45 minutes of homework, then they reward themselves with 15 minutes on social media, and to do this for a couple hours each night so that they're not feeling like they have to sit down and drill into it and get everything done all at once. Schedule in a snack break, schedule in a social media break, talk to a friend, and then try and get it done. But also, I encourage my students before these major deadlines hit to start thinking about it. So I'm talking to my juniors about looking at colleges and considering starting your common application or your essays before senior year starts, so that you're not so overwhelmed by the November 1st or December 1st deadlines that will quickly approach once senior year starts.
I think it's great advice. So I want to thank you, Kim, for speaking with us today. But before we end, I was wondering if there's anything that you think that you felt like we should cover or mention that I didn't have an opportunity to ask you about.
I feel like we definitely covered a lot of topics, but I would just say if your teenager starts displaying any unusual behavior changes in their happy-go-lucky self, to really look into that and to not be afraid to reach out to other parents to ask, is this typical? Is your teen going through this? Or a pediatrician or the guidance counselor? And then if it seems like it's outside the bounds of normal teenage behavior, that's when it's worth looking into professional help.
Thank you so much, Kim. So Kim gave us a lot of great advice about just coping with back to school stress. I know some other things that are really stressful are especially for seniors. We talked a little bit about juniors and the transition for students coming in as freshmen. But I think seniors have a lot of stress. And from what I hear, definitely college applications and preparing and for that is a real big issue. I had my oldest son, he's in college now, so I sort of have an idea of some of the experiences that I remember, a little bit of some of the experiences he had, and just wanted to, share some recommendations for how to handle addressing the college applications. I think one piece of great advice that I was told about was really kind of, it just again goes back to being a little, having organization and scheduling. So if you know which schools you're applying to, kind of lay out and look at the dates that all the applications are due for your school, whether or not it's early decision or regular decision. And as Kim, she gave some advice about maybe starting the essays a little bit earlier. So kind of understanding about, what schools, does your school just take the common application, or is there an additional application or additional essay on top of what's required for just a common app? So again, kind of knowing the due dates for the college applications, and then trying to then schedule when you can write the essays, and maybe even determining if you can use the same essay for multiple applications, which is probably the case for the common application. And I think the other thing too that's important is that if you need help, writing the essays, or even help trying to schedule and organize your schedule for applying for the applications, I think it doesn't hurt to ask for help, asking your teacher or guidance counselor for help. And if you feel comfortable, asking your parents to also sort of help you out. And I think it's also important too to take breaks, right? I know it's important to apply for college if that's the road that you want to take, but also taking time so that you don't get too overwhelmed by everything. Just taking one thing at a time, one day at a time, I think is very important. The college apps will get done, and just kind of putting things in perspective. And I think also going back to the other ideas of trying to find ways to relax and have fun. So, getting together with friends and maybe sharing ideas as well. I think it's always important to talk with friends. They may have ideas on how they've done it, or even older brothers or sisters or older friends that you may have, asking them about how they got through the application process. And I think what's also good in talking with them is that you'll realize that they got through it as well, and it's something that you can get through as well. So I think that's pretty much in terms of the tips for 12th graders. And I think the other tips that Kim shared are very important, I think, for all age levels, grade levels of high school. And I think some other great resources, the apps that Kim mentioned, UCLA, Teen Health Matters, we have some resources for just general stress management, also numbers and links for the crisis hotline, grassroots crisis hotline, that we'll put in the show notes, so that and also on our website, Teen Health Matters website, if there's more help that you need. And I also encourage you to reach out to family, friends, guidance counselors, and your teachers if you have any questions and just need some help. Thank everyone for listening. To learn more about Teen Health Matters and to catch up other podcast episodes, check out our webpage at teenhealthmatters.org, or follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Thank you very much for listening.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.